Good morning. My name is Julie Klaus, and I have the pleasure of serving on staff here at the Hastings United Methodist Church. I'm so glad you've joined us in worship on this Palm Sunday morning. This morning, I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, and verses 25 through 27. Please feel free to follow along in your Bible, your tablet, your smartphone, or the screens behind me. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. In verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, on this Palm Sunday, may we remember the promise you have made through your Son, Jesus Christ. May our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds be awakened to the magic and mystery of Easter and the hope that it brings to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please direct your attention to the screen. Well, it's Palm Sunday, and Easter is 1 week away. How blessed we are to know that Easter and everything it means to us as Christians is on its way. Our reading today was from John 18, but let's back up a little bit to John 12:12 for a moment. It reads, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem." The next day, it was Sunday, 6 days before Jesus was crucified. It's the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But if it was a triumphal entry, then why did they crucify him at the end of the week? It was a glorious Sunday. But what goes wrong by Friday that Jesus is betrayed by one of his own disciples, arrested by the high priest guard, accused by the religious leaders, tried by the Roman governor, and sentenced to die the death of a common criminal? Death by crucifixion. They wanted an earthly king. And by Friday, they wanted to be rid of him. In their minds, Jesus never did what they wanted him to do. They did not know who Jesus was. There was another procession going on that day. Pilate was also entering Jerusalem, headed there not only to keep an eye on the Jews during Passover, they didn't want any kind of an uprising or rebellion, but also to intimidate them with a show of military might and strength. The procession of Jesus was just the opposite, as Jesus rode in on a donkey, symbolizing peace and tranquility, the kind of peace that God brings to his people. Shalom. There were two very different choices that day. Either serve the God of this world, might and power, or choose to serve the King of a very different kind of kingdom, the kingdom of God. Take a moment and ask yourself, if I had been in Jerusalem that day and had seen both processions passing by, which one would I have chosen to follow? That is the choice we make every day, isn't it? To choose power and might over love. To choose the way things are done as opposed to the way God intends them to be. Which would you choose? So now we fast forward to Thursday. They've had the Last Supper, and a conversation takes place between Jesus and Peter. John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38 reads, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And this is where Peter makes a very bold statement. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Have you ever said anything that you later regretted? I'm guessing maybe that's a yes. I think I do this pretty much daily. I heard someone say once that it seemed the only reason they opened their mouth was to switch feet. There's a great quote that reads, don't say giddy up to your mouth before your head is hitched up. So often we're quick to speak, aren't we? We give into that knee-jerk response and end up saying something we'll regret. Oftentimes when asked how we feel about God or Jesus, it's easy to say, we're a Christian. We love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But what if doing so would get you into trouble? And what if that trouble wasn't just being laughed at or made fun of? What if it was real trouble, like arrest or death? Will we deny Christ if the situation is dire? What did Peter say? I will lay down my life for you. He was so sincere, wasn't he? Just like we are when we make bold statements. I will never cheat on a test. I will never drink and drive. I would never do drugs. I will always be faithful to my spouse. I will never take another drink of alcohol. But what happens when the hard times come? When temptation is knocking, maybe banging at the door. When it's easier to lie than to tell the truth. Peter had a chance to back up his bold words. The first chance came when the girl asked him, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He replied, "I am not." And secondly, when he was warming himself, again he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He replied, "I am not." And thirdly, he's asked, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" And again, Peter denies it. Did you catch Peter's reply to the questions? "I am not." It was during this past week at the Tuesday morning Bible study that was pointed out to me. I had never really paid attention to that. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Chris preached on the I am sayings of Jesus, and now Peter is saying, I am not. We can relate to that. A coincidence? I don't think so. This would be something good for us to remember. It's easy to sit here and judge Peter, isn't it? But we need to be careful. Without the help of God, none of us here today is above denying Jesus to those around us. It may be as obvious as denying we're a Christian, following the crowd instead of following Jesus, choosing convenient disobedience over inconvenient obedience. We deny Christ when we choose sin over obedience. We deny Christ when we say that we know better than he does about any given area in our life. We deny Christ when we allow our schedules to dictate our love for him instead of allowing our love for him to dictate our schedules. I am particularly guilty of this one. Sleeping in. I'm going to watch one more episode of whatever. I'll hit those devotions later. We deny Christ when we bring gossip and division to the church he bought with his blood. We deny Christ when we refuse to forgive as Christ forgave us. When we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, we're disobeying Jesus' command to forgive, whether they ask for it or not, whether we think they deserve it or not, forgetting, in fact, that we don't deserve it either, and that it's only because of God's grace and mercy that we're forgiven. We deny Christ anytime we put ourselves and our priorities ahead of him and his priorities. Anytime we think we know better than Jesus and act in our own interests instead of his, we're denying Christ. We may not be Peter, but we can and most definitely have denied Jesus. When I was preparing for today, I came across an article that outlined the 7 ways we deny Jesus. Our words. Words can be used to build people up, but they can also be used to tear people down. Our walk. Does it match our talk? Our works. Are we one kind of Christian on Sunday morning and a different kind of Christian the rest of the week? Our wickedness. Are we hypocrites? Are we confessing our sin? Our witness. Are we sharing the good news, doing all we can to make sure people get the message? Or in those moments, are we quiet? Because it's awkward, makes us feel uncomfortable. Our worship. Are we showing up at church, making time for worship? Are we sleeping in? Our wealth. Are we laying up treasure for ourselves or being rich towards God? Make no mistake. Jesus died because of us. We are sinners. And while we know that Easter is coming, it would do us well to sit here and feel the weight of Good Friday. To hear the message of suffering, rejection, persecution, hardship, and even death is difficult and uncomfortable, but necessary. We can't ignore the suffering and sacrifice that Jesus taught. We try to live our faith without suffering and persecution. This cheery Christianity where we don't talk about God's redemption in Christ, the passion, it's violent and ugly on the surface. But that would be the easy way out, and Christ did not take the easy way out. He was tempted multiple times by Satan to do just that, but lived his life according to God's will. Jesus calls us to another kind of denial, the denial of self. During Lent, we often deny ourselves things, which can be a bit misleading. When we successfully deny ourselves soda or coffee or chocolate, all very difficult things to give up, mind you. We often focus more on the accomplishment of denial instead of the reason for the denial. Scripture does not tell us to deny ourselves of things. It says, deny ourselves, period. The only reason for that would be to make room for Christ. If you gave something up for Lent, every time you find yourself thinking about that thing or craving, missing, wanting that whatever, replace those feelings with thoughts of Christ. He gave his life for us. Painfully. On a cross. We are called to take up our own cross, which goes beyond a burden or an illness. To take up our cross means deliberately and voluntarily taking up something that could be avoided, to choose to sacrifice ourselves for someone else. That's what Christ did. And he did this knowing that the cost was ultimately his suffering and death on a cross. And he says, follow me. To follow Christ means to love like Christ loved and to live out the will of God as he did. Easter is coming. The good news for us today is that there is forgiveness for those who have denied Christ. Are you sitting here today thinking about something you've said or done that denied Christ? And now you're wondering if Jesus can possibly care for you anymore? You're ashamed, just like Peter was? Truly, we should all be ashamed. Let me say to you that Christ is ready, willing, and able to forgive you and me, and not only forgive, but to use us for his purposes in the kingdom. I can give you many examples in my life when I have completely blown it for Jesus and walked away in shame, wondering if I had become unforgivable. But Christ does forgive us and still has something for us to do. There have been times in my ministry here when I've made mistakes and was ready to throw in the towel. But then I'm reminded, God still has a job for me to do. And he's calling me to do it. It's the same with everyone here today. I have three things I want you to take away from the story of Peter. Avoid believing you're above denying Jesus. If you think you're above that, then you're setting yourself up for a major heartache, just like Peter experienced. Number two, if you have denied Christ, confess it to him now and accept the forgiveness he has for you. He already knows what you've done. You're confessing to acknowledge that you're aware of your sin and want his forgiveness for it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say he'll think about forgiving us. It doesn't say he might forgive us if we promise to never do it again. No. If we confess, he forgives. God knows your heart. A sin confessed is a sin forgiven. So confess it to God and accept his forgiveness for it. Number three, Pray that God would give you the courage and ability to stand for Christ no matter the cost. God wants to help you. And me. He wants to give us the spiritual fortitude to stand firm and to speak for Him, even if it means hardship for us and those we love. Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew 10:32, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." When we stand firm for Christ, He honors that. He helps us to be accurate reflections of Him and His love for all who would call on Him for forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. And not only that, but other people take notice of those who are honestly living for Christ and his agenda instead of living for themselves and their own agenda. It allows people to see Jesus for who He really is because they see the truth in your life, even if it's imperfect like Peter's. So stand firm. Ask God to help you acknowledge Christ when the opportunity comes. Then watch Him work in you and through you, which will bring the love of Christ to those around you. Will you pray with me? Glorious God, help us to deny ourselves, not you. Following Christ means we will face some very difficult times in our lives. When we follow Christ and desire to live faithful to your will, we will surely encounter tough decisions along the way. However, Easter is coming. Following Jesus means that when all is said and done, we end up at the same destination, at your side forever, in the presence of our Lord. Amen.